Sunny 16 presents.
Welcome to On Location, our community-based show where listeners around the world doing interesting stuff share their interesting stuff with listeners around the world who want to hear about it. On this week's show, we've got Christian Strauf and Jonathan Becker talking to us about why using coffee to develop your film is more than just a fun fad to try out. Stay tuned to the end of the show to hear how you can get in touch with us if you'd like to present something here on On Location.
Have you ever heard of people developing films in cheap instant coffee? Well, you can. The developer is called Caffeinol and basically consists of instant coffee, soda, and vitamin C. It's easy to make at home and it yields fantastic results. This episode is all about Caffeinol and its use as a developer.
Introduction.
We are Jonathan Becker and Christian Strauf from Germany, both listeners of the Sunny 16 podcast. We met on the Sunny 16 Discord server during the COVID shutdown, and we've been in regular contact via Messenger since then, together with a friend who's also an avid film photographer. We yet have to meet in person, but we hope to do our first real-life photo walk as soon as the COVID madness is over or less dramatic.
Yeah, and we are both fans of Caffeinol, and we'd like to introduce the Sunny 16 Presents listeners to Caffeinol as an alternative developer, not because it's a nerdy thing to develop film and coffee. Well, it is, but it's not the point of this, but because it's a seriously good developer.
Disclaimer.
Even though Caffeinol is reasonably safe, I made it a habit to use protective gear like nitrile gloves and stuff like that when developing films, so that I'm used to it when working with more dangerous developers, especially when it comes to fixing. Make sure to work safely and always dispose of chemicals properly and according to local regulations. So use all information from this episode at your own risk, basically.
Yeah, I think Christian has a good point there, but Caffeinol in general, I think it's rather safe. If you get in contact with Caffeinol, wash your hands after that, avoid getting the concentrated soda solution into your eyes, and then you will just be fine. Most cleaning products are way more dangerous than Caffeinol is. It's not a recommendation, but I also think it's totally fine to do it in the kitchen. But I have to say again, the fixer has to be disposed of properly. It can really mess up sewage plants or even worse, streams and rivers. So take care of that.
The history of Caffeinol.
When browsing the information available on the web regarding Caffeinol, there is consensus that the first mention of Caffeinol, or better say of coffee as a developer for photographic film or paper, is in a class taught in 1995 by Dr. Scott Williams of the Imaging and Photographic Technology Department at the Rochester Institute of Technology. That's RIT for short. And if you're wondering where Kodak and Rochester Institute of Technology is, it's exactly the same town. So that's a very nice coincidence, isn't it? You will find a link to the paper regarding this talk that Dr. Williams gave in the show notes, and you will find all other links that we mention also in the show notes. Since this talk, there have been many people looking to refining what's now called Caffeinol. The Caffeinol community is quite big, and there is a wealth of information on Caffeinol produced by said community. Regarding the name Caffeinol, we couldn't find any information on who actually coined the term, but it's pretty clear that it consists of coffee or cafe and phenol. As a starting point for Caffeinol beginners, we highly recommend the Caffeinol cookbook. We'll talk about recipes later, and the Caffeinol cookbook is the definitive source for Caffeinol recipes. A very interesting blog about Caffeinol is Reinhold Gee's Caffeinol blog. Reinhold Gee is one of the co-authors of the Caffeinol cookbook, And his blog gives great insights into different aspects that are Kefnol related. And I had the pleasure of chatting with Reinhold on the Film Wasters forum. So, yeah.
Why use Kefnol?
So Kefnol is an interesting developer because the ingredients to make Kefnol are widely available and they are reasonably affordable, and you can find them in almost any household, and if not in the household, at least in nearly any bigger grocery store. It's also not as toxic as other developers, and also not as bad for the environment. So those are all good reasons to give Kefnol a try.
How and why did we start using Kefnol?
A few years ago, I tried several different developers to find my go-to developer for certain films. I was quite happy with Rodinal back then, and I also used different special developers like Tetinal Ultrafine T Plus for T-Grain film, or the ADOC Silvermax developer for the film of the same name. And I knew about Kefnol for quite a while, but only 2.5 years ago, I tried it for the first time. Back then, it was just a nerdy thing to try out, but I very quickly realized that Kefnol is a serious developer and it doesn't have to hide behind other commercial developers. On the contrary, for quite a number of films, it gave me better results from the start than other well-established developers. I pretty quickly settled with the variant Kefnol CHRS, RS stands for reduced soda, from the Kefnol cookbook, and I've been using it almost exclusively for developing black and white films for more than 2 years.
Yeah, for me it's rather new. So Christian introduced me to Kefnol around March. I've heard about it before, but I was always put off by all the different recipes you can find. There are a lot of variants. But now for me, there are three reasons why Kefnol is a great developer. First, I shoot a lot of large format, so I use a lot of developer. And having an environmentally friendly developer is therefore a great option, and this is really important to me. Then, the FOMAPAN films really shine in Kefnol. The grain of those films is under control, and the tones are really beautiful. Again, that's great for large format because the FOMA sheet film is affordable. And the third reason is that Kefnol is really great for experiments. Recently, I used a lot of X-ray film because it's cheap for large format, and Kefnol works really well with that. So the tones on the X-ray film are really nice, and the harsh contrast you usually get is kept under control. I use it now nearly exclusively. There is only one exception, and that's HP5 Plus pushed in Rodinal, because I just love that combination.
How and why does Kefnol work?
Yeah, so this will get a little bit more complicated, because to explain how Kefnol works, we have to explain first how developers in general work. The photographic film we use, so I'm talking about black and white film because that's what Kefnol is for. Those photographic films contain silver halides, so silver bromide or silver iodide. And those silver halides are light sensitive. When you expose them to light, elementary silver is formed. This, however, only happens in tiny amounts and is almost invisible, and under normal exposure conditions completely invisible, and this is called a latent image. So there is an image, but you cannot yet see it. To then create a visible image, you need to get more elementary silver on the film. In all developers that I used, a reducing substance is used to reduce the silver in the silver halides to elementary silver. This process happens mainly at the already existing silver particles. And what this means is that in this process, the latent and invisible image is transformed to a now visible image on the negative film. The probably most used reducing substance is hydroquinone, used in D76, Dektol, HC110, ID11, and many more classic developers. This stuff, the hydroquinone, however, is toxic for humans, bad for the environment, and most likely a hydroquinone causes cancer. There are a lot of alternatives, and in cafenol, the reducing agent is caffeic acid. At least, that is very likely that this is the reducing agent. Coffee is a natural product, and studies regarding its use as a developer are rare. The chemistry of caffeic acid is similar to catechol, which is used in other developers. To accelerate the development, it is usually done at higher pH values. This is also the reason why the stop bath after the developer is acidic, to stop the development which is done in higher pH values. Cafenol uses for that a buffer made from soda and vitamin C to sustain a stable pH value. This should be for cafenol CH and the reduced soda variant around 11.5 as a pH value. Lower pH values yield in slower and more even development, higher pH values in faster development and more grain. This is also the reason why the reduced soda variant of cafenol increases the compensating effect and gives nicer and more evener development, because the pH value here is not as high as if you would put in more soda. And then there's the potassium bromide. It works as a so-called restrainer in the development. In theory, it should not be necessary. So you can use cafenol without potassium bromide, which is kind of important because you cannot get potassium bromide in the normal grocery store. But even if it's not absolutely necessary, it helps with consistency and makes the developer a lot more forgiving. It is important to note that adding potassium bromide will slow down the development process. So you will need different times for the development with potassium bromide against developing without it. So for example, the Formapan 100 in cafenol CH reduced soda without potassium bromide has a development time of 8 minutes. If you add now the potassium bromide and use it in the developer, it will take, with everything else the same, almost twice as long. So in our experience, about 15 minutes. This is an extreme example. The development times of other films don't differ that much, but still, there's a bit of difference. We'll discuss later that for cafenol CH reduced soda, the magic development time for most films is 15 minutes.
Just to chip in for a quick anecdote, when we were discussing why cafenol works, I was wondering what the pH value was, and I bought these really cheap testing strips because I wanted to find out. And then Jonathan kept teasing me that I bought really, really cheap ones. And he said, yeah, maybe you will guess the ballpark. And then he went away for like 10 minutes and came back with a sheet of paper that where he scribbled some formulas on with a pencil and said, yeah, I think I did some estimations and I think the pH value will be around 11 something. And I was, okay. And he's a chemist, by the way. And then I went to test with the testing strip and yeah, it was exactly 11.5 on the testing strip. It was exactly the value that he calculated. But yeah, that was really funny. It's always good to have a chemist at hand.
Does cafenol have advantages over other developers?
I've been an advocate for cafenol for a long time, not because it's a really nerdy developer, but because it's a really good developer. And after using cafenol with different emulsions, I found that there are emulsions that really shine in cafenol. Among those are emulsions that that usually turn out best in special developers. For example, Formapan 100 and 400. Formapan is quite a popular film because it's affordable but still produces good results. However, Formapan is known for not having the best latitude unless you use Foma's, what they call, or what everyone calls, the magic juice. It's Formadone LQN. And this developer significantly improves the latitude of Formapan films. And I found that cafenol achieves very comparable results. So all in all, cafenol is a really great developer for Formapan 100 and 400. I can't say anything about Formapan 200 because I haven't tried it yet, and also because Formapan 200 is said to be quite a different different emulsion compared to the other two emulsions. The other film that's worth mentioning is Adox Silvermax, and Silvermax is a really great film. It contains 30% more silver than conventional films, and though it's not a so-called T-grain film, it's still very sharp, and it's said to have 14 stops of latitude, which is enormous, in a special Silvermax developer, which is also a hydroquinone-based developer. But in the case of Silvermax, again, Cafenol also does a really, really good job, and in my subjective view, yields very similar results to the Silvermax developer in terms of latitude. And Silvermax, therefore, is my go-to film for high-contrast environments like scenes that are lit by harsh sunlight. And another great example is Ilford Delta 100. It's a brilliant film with a modern T-grain emulsion, and Cafenol works really, really well with Delta 100 as well, and it's well worth a try. The negatives are tack sharp, and Cafenol produces a very pretty tonality in Delta 100 images. Another advantage of Cafenol is that for some strange reason, a significant amount of films have the exact same developing time. In Cafenol CHRS, reduced soda, that's 15 minutes for almost every film, which is really peculiar, but it is like it is. This means that you can basically develop different film types in the same developing tank, with which is obviously very practical and saves a lot of time, because you just chuck in all sorts of different films and develop them in the same tank. So that's really nice.
Does Cafenol have disadvantages?
The short answer is yes. This won't be a surprise to anyone who's tried different developers before, and there simply isn't a universal developer that brings out the best in every film. The same goes for Cafenol. There's at least one film that's known to actually not develop at all in Cafenol, and that's Rollei Retro 400S, which is not to mix up with Rollei Retro 80S, which develops really well in Cafenol. For some strange reason, the emulsion used in the Retro 400S doesn't properly react with Cafenol. It's not worth trying it. It's been done before. I've tried it, and don't waste your film trying it as well, because it really doesn't work. Also, Cafenol tends to have very long developing times. Jonathan mentioned before that the average for most films is around 15 minutes for Cafenol CH reduced soda, and that can be quite annoying if you have a lot of film that you have to develop one after the other. For example, if you develop X-ray sheet film. And last but not least, it's a bit of a hassle to measure out and mix the ingredients, but I think Jonathan and I agree that it's really worth because of the great results that you can achieve.
Are environmental concerns the reason to use Cafenol?
So, except for the potassium bromide, which is not more toxic than table salt, you can get all the ingredients for Cafenol in the supermarket. So, they should not be toxic and totally fine for the environment. This is certainly true in comparison to classical developers like ID11 and so, which are often problematic. But also, there's this thing, if you look into the material safety data sheets of modern, more environmentally friendly developers, you will also find description of a variety of dangers. But here's this thing, even caffeic acid itself is considered to be a risk regarding cancer. So what's going on here? So as always, it's important how much of a substance is there to estimate its toxicity. In my opinion, Cafenol is not superior to other ecological developers like Ixtol regarding safety and environmental danger. All those modern ecological developers have low concentration of these developing substances that are in those low concentrations not very dangerous. So, but because they are comparable, saving the environment can be an argument to use cafenol, but only if you are using a hydroquinone developer at the moment, but not if you are already going for safer alternatives, like I mentioned, Ixtol. But there's also something else to consider. It is usually recommended to use the cheapest instant coffee you can get to make cafenol. And if you use coffee as a natural product, you have always to think about that the working conditions for the harvest workers are often bad, especially for really cheap coffee. There are, of course, exceptions, and then some of this coffee is harvested with mechanical harvest machines, so it's not that bad. But you have to think about it. You have to keep this in mind.
Tips and tricks for using cafenol.
Yeah, so first of all, there is a nice trick when using cafenol regarding temperature. Usually, cafenol is used at 20 degrees Celsius. However, when you mix cafenol, the dissolving of soda is an exothermic reaction due to its solvation energy, which will significantly raise the temperature of your mix. That's about 5 to 7 degrees Celsius. And what I normally do is I fill a container with water that has exactly 20 degrees Celsius, and then I fill another container with really cold tap water. And as a rule of thumb, I use about one third of the total amount of developer of cold tap water for mixing the ingredients. For example, if I need 300 milliliters of cafenol, I'll use 100 milliliter of cold tap water to mix all ingredients, and I'll then measure the temperature and add as much cold or warm water as needed to get everything to 20 degrees Celsius, and I'll then fill up the rest with of the 300 milliliters with the 20 degrees Celsius warm water. So basically, start with cold water because the soda will raise the water temperature, and then you can add as much warm or cold water until you reach the 20 degrees.
When you are mixing your cafenol, it is very important to stir it really, really well. According to the cafenol cookbook, it's good practice to mix the ingredients in the following order. First, soda, then the vitamin C, and then the instant coffee. And then the potassium bromide you can mix in at any point. And also, I don't think we have mentioned this so far, you can use iodized table salt as a little bit weaker alternative to potassium bromide. And also you can add this at any point. For each ingredient, stir really, really well so that everything is properly dissolved. Also, the instant coffee, this needs really, really good stirring to avoid clumps of undissolved powder. Also, if you stir too wildly, you will get foam. This is not generally spoken bad, but in our experience, it's much easier to rinse the film after developing when there's no foam. If you regularly use cafenol, a cheap magnetic stirrer is a very useful tool. You can get those off Amazon or eBay for not a lot of money. The magnetic stirrer allows also for a more relaxed approach in mixing the ingredients. So you can just weigh everything and dissolve it at once. Of course, then clumps are forming, but those can be easily dissolved with the magnetic stirrer. And yeah, you save some time and some steps.
Yeah, regarding measuring the ingredients, despite the fact that you use instant coffee in cafenol, the results are very repeatable, actually. This means that you get very consistent results with most films. Almost all of the cafenol ingredients, like the sodium carbonate, that's the washing soda, the ascorbic acid, that's vitamin C, and the potassium bromide, are chemically clean. However, the instant coffee consists of a lot of components, and there are variations depending on the brand and the type of coffee that you use. And therefore, it makes sense to stick with the particular coffee brand and type that you've selected and developed with before. But even more importantly, it's a good idea to measure the weight very thoroughly. There will always be chemical inconsistencies due to the instant coffee, but weighing carefully will reduce additional variations. In my experience, you can even switch brands without noticeably changing the results as long as you measure the weight properly. That being said, there are a lot of people who simply use tablespoons to prepare the caffeinol ingredients, and there's nothing wrong with that, and they're happy with the results. The point I'm trying to make is that even if you're not keen on experimenting, you can get really consistent and repeatable results with caffeinol if you weigh the ingredients carefully.
What caffeinol aspects do you still want to explore?
So there are quite a few. The first would be stand developing. This is known to work. So caffeinol is known to be a great developer for stand developing, but we both haven't tried it yet. I mean, it takes a lot of time to do so. Then the next thing is to use caffeinol as a paper developer. I've read about this. It should be possible, but you might have to double the concentration of the ingredients to get a working paper developer. But also, because caffeinol is a slowly working developer, this could help when you are using paper for paper negatives to get the contrast under control. And then maybe you can use caffeinol as a multi-shot developer. In theory, there should be enough developer mass in caffeinol so you can use it multiple times. I've done it with sheet film in tray developing, but only for 3 sheets. And yeah, it seems to work, but probably the limit is probably close to using it twice or 3 times. And then what we want to try out is preparing pre-weighted packs of the ingredients, so the dry ingredients, to quickly mix new developer. As mentioned before, this needs a magnetic stirrer so you don't get clumps so bad that they cannot be dissolved anymore.
And one other thing that we would like to try and do is to find an alternative to instant coffee with a higher polyphenol concentration to reduce the overall cost. Why is that? The polyphenol component, that's for example the caffeic acid in coffee, is the developing agent, and there are actually natural ingredients that contain a lot more of polyphenols. And there is a really interesting article that you can find on 35mmc, and you will find the link in the show notes as well. And there are a number of ingredients listed there that potentially would work in lesser amounts than instant coffee, but still with the same effect. However, the problem with that is, and Jonathan already mentioned it, is that it's not completely and entirely clear if caffeic acid is the only part of instant coffee that makes it such a great developer. So it's probably possible to find good alternatives and cheap alternatives, but it's work. So we haven't done that yet.
Frequently asked questions. Is caffeinol a staining developer?
Well, contrary to what many people think, caffeinol isn't a staining developer when used with film, but for paper this may obviously be different. So no, it's not generally a staining developer.
Why is cheaper instant coffee better for caffeinol use than expensive ones?
So cheaper coffee is usually roasted more than the better, more costly coffee. And because it's roasted more, the cheaper instant coffee contains more caffeic acid. And that's also the stuff that gives your stomach aches if you drink cheap instant coffee. Since caffeic acid is one of the developing agents, at least we think it is, you want as much of it as possible. So that's why cheaper instant coffee works the best.
Is Caffeinol cheaper than other developers?
Well, it's not the cheapest, but it's still reasonably cheap. If you compare it to Rodinol, which is a really cheap developer, Rodinol costs about 3/4 of what Caffeinol costs in Germany. But that's also due to the high coffee tax that we have on coffee in Germany. Coffee or Caffeinol is probably more expensive in Germany than in other countries. However, even in Germany, there are many other developers that are more expensive than Caffeinol, so it's reasonably cheap.
Why do you always have to mix Caffeinol freshly? Why not mix it and store it?
Yeah, so Caffeinol contains a fair amount of oils due to the coffee as a natural product. And this doesn't store well as a developer solution. Even in the fridge, it will develop mold quite quickly. Also, the developer oxidizes after a while. It might be possible to freeze it, but we haven't tried it yet, and quite honestly, it's not worth the hassle. But it should be fine to store the dry ingredients together for a defined amount of developer. So you can have a pre-packed mix for like 500 milliliters or a liter. There's even a commercial kit of a pre-mixed Caffeinol powder, which is available at some retailers.
How great is Caffeinol going to smell in an enclosed dark room?
The coffee itself, and that's a funny story. When I started with Caffeinol, I was like, oh, I started to pour in the instant coffee, and it was like, if this smells, if developing film will smell like this all the time, that's just fabulous. But as soon as you add the soda, it's a very interesting smell. So don't worry, it's bearable, but it's not exactly nice.
Are there any alternative fixers?
There may be. However, since any fixer, even if there's an alternative, will remove silver halides from the film that haven't been exposed, it will contain silver. And silver as a heavy metal is especially toxic for microorganisms. And since you will have to probably dispose of any fixer as toxic waste, we've not tried to find anything else because, yeah, it's all toxic waste in the end.
Is Caffeinol the best alternative developer out there?
This is obviously hard to answer because there are so many alternative developers out there that this is a matter of taste. However, from a scientific point of view, Caffeinol can't be optimal since the polyphenol concentration, so the concentration of the stuff that actually acts as a developing agent, is much lower in coffee than in other natural substances, which leads us to believe that there are potentially cheaper and more effective alternatives out there. But as I said before, we haven't tried them yet. And as I also mentioned before, there is a really nice write-up on 35mmc by Daniel Keating, and you should really check it out if you want to deep dive into alternative developers. But then again, on the other hand, there's something about coffee that seems to be hard to reproduce with other natural ingredients. So this is definitely worth exploring. And I've already tried to use cloves and also cocoa and menthol. Keep your fingers off menthol. That's the only conclusion I could draw from this experiment, because your darkroom will smell like a sauna. And since menthol will crystallize when it's colder than 30 degrees Celsius, you will never get it to 20 degrees Celsius without a really huge mess. So yeah, that was quite a failure.
There are many Caffeinol variants. Which ones do you guys use and recommend?
A good starting point is always the Caffeinol cookbook. We would recommend the Caffeinol CH recipe from the Caffeinol cookbook, but in the reduced soda variant. This is developed by Eric Russell Roberts, which is based on Reinhold G's original Caffeinol CH recipe. The reduced soda variant uses much less soda than the non-RS variant, but still produces great results. you basically use the same amount of soda as of instant coffee, so it's also easier to remember. As mentioned before, this has an effect on the pH value and gives you more controlled grain over the original recipe.
What agitation scheme do you use for Caffeinol?
I find that it's very important not to over-agitate film. The grain is much more controlled and I've never had any fogging problems or uneven development with Caffeinol with the following agitation scheme. First, I agitate very lightly, for example, with the swivel stick of the Patterson tank for the first 30 seconds. Then I'll leave the tank for 30 seconds and then I'll invert once, not too quickly, every 60 seconds. So that's one inversion every minute until the time is over.
Do you use an acidic stop bath?
We both don't use an acidic stop bath. Caffeinol, as already discussed a few times, has rather long developing times. And because of that, it's not critical to stop the developing in an instant. So we stop using water. That's totally fine. But because there's coffee in it, it's useful to rinse the film at least 3 times. I would even recommend rinsing a little bit more. If the water comes out clean, still rinse once more, because you really don't want to contaminate your fixer with your coffee.
Does decaffeinated instant work as well?
That's a really good question, and it's possible since caffeic acid is not caffeine, so that's two different things. And since caffeic acid is very likely the main developing agent and not caffeine, it could work, however, we've never tried it.
Which films have you successfully developed in Caffeinol so far?
So, we've already tried quite some films. This list is which we will tell you now is far from comprehensive, and we are sure that a lot of other films work really well too. We will also try to give you some development times as a starting point for Caffeinol CH reduced soda with added potassium bromide, because it's really important to mention that the development time will be different if you don't use potassium bromide. And this is always for film at box speed.
Even if you don't want to use potassium bromide because it's hard for you to buy it, even though it shouldn't be in most, at least at most European countries, you can do it without using table salt. Iodized table salt will work. It doesn't have the exact same effect as potassium bromide, even if you use it in a concentration that is mentioned in the Caffeinol cookbook. But as soon as you have sort of like a baseline for a film or for most films, that baseline will work for most of these films mentioned. So maybe Jonathan will alternate the films and we'll start with Adox Silvermax. And as mentioned before, that's 15 minutes in Caffeinol CH reduced soda.
Yeah, it's also the same time, the 15 minutes for Aqua APX 400.
And it's, by the way, really nice if you want to go on holiday. The ECFA APX 400 and also the Adox Silvermax have a very different character. The Silvermax works, as mentioned before, in really harsh daylight, and the APX 400 is really nice when it's overcast and there is not a lot of contrast. And the cool thing is you can take those two films and just chuck them into the same developing tank because the times are the same. So that's really, really nice.
Yeah, I also really like that for large format. So you can use different films and then put all of them in the same tank if you have a tank that can develop more than one sheet at a time. And you don't have to worry to, I don't know, have 6 shots of the same film to develop it.
Yeah, one very interesting film, which I like a lot, is the Bergère Pancro. I can't say 400 in French. Sorry, Graham, that's your job. I like it very much, but it's a very special film because it's what they call, what Bergère calls a double emulsion. It contains silver bromide and also a silver iodide in the emulsion, and it's got quite a lot of that in it. So this film needs a little bit longer developing times. And yeah, I think around about 16 minutes is good for that film.
So Formapen 100, probably the best starting point for Cafenol, because the great combination will take about 15 minutes.
Yeah, and the Formapen 400 is a very interesting film. When I started developing it in Cafenol, I was always wondering why it took so long to get a good image from Formapen 400. And maybe, Jonathan, if you want to discuss what your theory is, I found it very interesting.
Yeah, I don't think it's my theory. I've read a lot about it. So a lot of people think that Formapen 400 is actually ISO 320, not 400. And I've tried to expose it at 320, and then you're totally fine with the normal 15 minutes development time.
By the way, if you develop Formapen 400 in Rodinol, you can shoot it at ISO 100 and develop it like Formapen 100, and will work as well. It's a very strange film. Yeah, and the as mentioned before, Ilford Delta 100 is really great in Cafenol, and that's also 15 minutes.
Then HP5. Christian thinks it needs 13 minutes. I like it the best with 15 minutes development.
Yeah. So there are a number of other films that we've tried, but I think we haven't put down the developing times.
I can tell you.
So you can tell me. Okay,
yeah, great. There's FP4 Plus. Will take also 15 minutes. The Rollei Ortho 25, also 15 minutes. T-Max 100. Also 15 minutes. It's great. Yeah,
Everything's 15 minutes. And also one of my favorite films, and I actually still have some bulk roll of it, is Rollei Retro ATS. And it's also 15 minutes.
Yeah, and then I tried a bit more like not as often used films. So X-ray film is a big topic. There are several forms of X-ray film, but I use the blue sensitive one, and it works really well in Cafenol, but it does not need 15 minutes developing, but you can do it by visually inspecting it, and it will take about 8 minutes. I also tried Vashi S, also 15 minutes, works great, and Ardox CMS 20, also 15 minutes.
Yeah, I also tried the Vashi S. It's quite a strange film. But yeah, it's really interesting that you basically can start with 15 minutes for every film and you will see some result. And it's, I think, according to our experiences, you just need to tweak the developing time just a tiny little bit. And I think with most films, I don't know if you agree, Jonathan, you get a usable image. You can, when you print it or scan it, you can always get something from a film that you developed in 15 minutes, even if you need to adjust the developing time later on.
Yeah, and to be honest, 1 minute more or less is not that big of a difference because it is a compensating developer. We really hope you will give Cafenol a go. It's a really great developer. If you have questions, you can contact us. We are happy to help. You can find Christian on Instagram as c_str1 or the Sunny16 Discord, also the same handle. And me, you can also find on the Sunny16 Discord as jbecker. And if you want to see some of our work with Cafenol, you can find our Instagram or Flickr links in the show notes.
Jonathan and I, we'd like to thank Graham for his time to record with us, to edit this episode. It's really appreciated. We really hope that you guys find the information that we gave you useful and that you'll try Cafenol. Please let us know how you like it when you tried it. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
A huge thank you to Jonathan and Christian for all the hard work they put into that show. It's really inspired me to perhaps finally getting around to using all the ingredients for Caffeinol I bought quite some time ago. If you've got an idea for an On Location that you'd like to do, please drop us a line at sunny16presents@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Thank you so much to all of our fabulous coffee donors who help keep us going and make all of this possible. You guys are wonderful. Music for the podcast is Fat Bass Loop by Winnie the Moog, used under a Creative Commons license. And we'll be back with you again soon. Thanks, everyone.